I meant it this morning. There's really, you know, you meet a lot of missionaries, and God bless a lot of them, but a lot of them just can't preach. But Brother Ingram can, and God gave him a message, and it was exactly what our church needed. And I would challenge you maybe to listen to it again and just see what the Lord has for you. But part of it had to do with having personal devotions, having family devotions. When we have devotions, our personal ones, it's important that we spend time in the Word of God every day. It's important that we get something from it. It really doesn't matter where you read in the Word of God. Here's the truth. It's all good. It is. It is all good. But there are certain portions of the Word of God that are more applicable to your daily intimate walk with God than others are. Leviticus is a great book. But, you know, there are some of those things that we just don't do today. You know, like sacrificing bullocks and things like that. But there are great principles there. But Proverbs is really written. Proverbs and Psalms were written for those really of daily interactions. There's so much in there. If you have another Bible reading program, then stay with that. But if you're just starting out, you say, I don't know where to start, just go to Proverbs. Proverbs is a great place to start. It's kindergarten devotions, and you can carry it right on through. Whenever you do read the Word of God, I would challenge you to get a good dictionary and define what the words mean. Because if you're not careful, you'll think you know what a word means, but you don't. And then all of a sudden you look it up in a dictionary, and it's like, oh, I've been thinking it meant something totally different. So look at it, Proverbs 19. Look at it, verse number 3. Verse number 3 is the verse I want to go with today. And then I've got a short message, all right? Short. It says 6 minutes, Brother Wendell, all right? So, but Proverbs 3, here's what it says. It says, the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. One of the things that I put in my margin of my Bible several years ago is this thought, my walk with the Lord affects my trust in Him. My walk with the Lord affects my trust in Him. When my walk with the Lord is not what it ought to be, I find myself not trusting in Him like I should. But I defined a couple of the words here in this verse. Let's take the first big one, the word foolishness. The word foolishness. The root of this word. The root of this word means to thicken or congeal. To thicken or congeal. Okay? Keep that in your mind. All right? And then you have the word, it says, the foolishness of man perverteth. What does perverteth mean? Well, the root of that word means to twist, to distort, to mislead from what is normal. By the way, we're seeing perversion in all facets of our society today. To distort or to mislead from what is normal. Many of you responded to one of the two memes that I put out this week. I didn't put out very many, but in one of my groups I was in, it says the real insurrection happened in November. You know, and you know that's true. But the other one was about the drag queen that preached at the Methodist church and decided that they wanted to preach in drag to try to reach a different type of crowd. Isn't that interesting? And, you know, many people, in fact, one person said, there's no way, that's not even true. But then they started researching and they found that it really was true. And it's amazing, the Methodist church, that's the group that gave us Bob Jones Sr. And many of the quotes that we read from Dr. Bob are tremendous. And but that's how what happens when a group begins to stray away from the Word of God. Perverteth. They begin to mislead from what is normal. All right? Notice again, it says, the foolishness of man to thicken, to congeal, the heart of man perverted to distort or to twist. And then, I like this little word. I use this one all the time. And his heart fretteth. The word fretteth means to agitate. The word fretteth means to eat away or to corrode. But it also has a root meaning of to rage or to storm. So I was thinking about this. I defined those words, and then I wrote down this thought. When my heart grows thick toward the things of God, my outlook becomes distorted and twisted. Does that make sense to you? When my heart begins to no longer be tender toward God, it begins to thicken or congeal. Congeal is kind of like, have you guys ever, made some beans or something and you put some bacon grease in there? By the way, that's the only way you make beans is by putting bacon grease in it or cook bacon or something. But then you put that in the refrigerator and it gets that layer of that grease that congeals on the top of it. And that's what the idea here of the foolishness. My heart, whenever it begins to congeal, it's no longer pliable to God. It's no longer that which God wants it to be is tender. So when my heart grows thick toward the things of God, my outlook becomes distorted and twisted. Notice the verse. It says, the foolishness of man perverteth his way. This leads to actions that are not normal for the Christian to engage in. Not normal. Eventually, my actions will cause me to rage against the restraints that God asked me to bring my flesh under. So whenever you read a verse in the Word of God, get out your trusty dictionary and begin to define some of the words. And just look at them. Just begin to define them. And look at the different aspects of the definition. And you'll be amazing. It'll be amazed at what God will give you that day. Because here's the thought. My walk with the Lord affects my trust in Him. When my heart grows cold, my heart begins to thicken. It's no longer tender. It's no longer easy for God to touch. You know, I guess one of the things that we need to pray about regularly is this. God, keep our hearts tender so that tears come quickly. May we be a people that are quick to be tender toward the things of God. Good decisions that lead to good decisions. Good decisions that lead to good decisions. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs 8. Now this is the message, Brother Wendell. All right. That other was just free. I just was thinking about that, about the devotions and how we need to have those things with our family. We need to have it with each other. We need to have it with God. We just simply need to read the Word of God. So decisions that help make good decisions. How many in the room have ever made a bad decision before? How many ever made a bad decision without seeking counsel before? And you're like, as soon as you did it, you're like, why did I do that? I should have known better. There are decisions that we can make that will help us make good decisions. I'm not saying we'll never be wrong, but I'm saying that it'll help us to make good decisions. And whether you're young or old, it doesn't matter. We all have decisions to make. Many people this morning, they made a decision whether or not to come to church. Some succeeded in making the right decision, a good decision. Others, they didn't, and they missed. And it's amazing what God will do, what Satan will do in our lives whenever we choose something that we probably shouldn't have chosen. Many make wrong decisions in life when the pressure is on simply because there's been no thought of future events. It happens every year. With budgeting and all of that, Christmas is no fun if you're paying for it in March. It just isn't. How many of you know, here we are, we're in June, okay? You ready? How many of you know Christmas is probably going to happen this year? You know that? All right, you know the Christmas? Okay, so what do you need to start doing right now? You need to start saving for Christmas if you haven't already. You say, well, we don't have enough money to save. Well, then that means you don't have a very big Christmas. Because Christmas is no fun if you've got to pay for it for 3 or 4 months afterwards. But see, oftentimes we get in trouble because we don't make proper decisions ahead of time. How many of you know people that are always late? Always late. And it's like, you know why they're always late? They don't make proper decisions ahead of time. They need to get up a little bit earlier. They need to maybe quit goofing around the house or whatever they're doing. And you drive 100 miles an hour to go somewhere, which there's nothing real wrong with that. Not necessarily because you're trying to make up time. You can't make up that much time. How many of you have been driving down the road and you're on a road that has red lights and you've got this fool that is just zoom, zoom, zoom until they finally are able to get around you, and then you come up at the next red light and there they are. Have you ever seen that happen before? It's like, I just want to honk my horn and say, good one, buddy, good one. But, you know, I don't want to get shot in today's world. But many times, you know what I think? I wonder why they're late. I wonder what they're late for. We need to start making good decisions before the pressure is ever on. Pressure's coming for Christians. Pressure's coming. Pressure's coming for a lot of things. We used to think that resistance in the next era of society would be us taking up arms and us doing that. No, resistance is simply going to be for us to live godly lives. And I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be a challenge to that. There's going to be a challenge to that. And we've got to make decisions now. You know why people are no longer in church today that used to be in church? Because they didn't plan to be in church. They just kind of ho-hummed it along, and instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to give my whole life to God. I'm going to be faithful for the entire rest of my life. I'm going to serve God until I can no longer do it. But many people, they just didn't make any forethought. Christians get into trouble oftentimes because they lack planning. Many of these things could have been simply avoided with a little bit of forethought. We do not need to get into the heat of the moment to make a decision for many of the major decisions that should be made. There are major decisions in your life that need to be made while you're in a church service or while you're reading your Bible at home before you ever get in the situation that you've got to make it. I tell young people this all the time. You never make the decision to remain pure or to be pure in the backseat of a car alone with somebody of the opposite sex. You've made that decision a long time before. Because if you wait to make the decision at that point, guess what? It's too late. And there are too many Christians that have failed because they've not made good decisions beforehand, and then all of a sudden the pressure is on, and they waver, and they falter, and they fail. We need to make good decisions that will lead to good decisions. Proverbs 8, verse number 10. Proverbs 8, verse number 10. The Word of God says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Receive my instruction. All right? The word instruction means precepts that convey knowledge. An instruction is a precept, it's a principle that conveys knowledge. So the writer of Proverbs here says, receive my instruction. I'm trying to convey knowledge to you, and not silver, and knowledge. Well, what is knowledge? Knowledge is a clear perception of a truth. So he says, listen, I want you to listen to these principles that'll convey a clear truth to you. And when you read the book of Proverbs, you get a lot of clear truths. You know what the writer's saying? He said, I want to help you make some decisions that'll help you make good decisions. You know, what we need to do is determine what God says about an issue and then line up with Him on that issue. Our world today is getting into a lot of problems because they have either forgotten or they've neglected or they've disregarded what God says about an issue. There are a lot of issues today that are eroding our churches. women pastors. There you go. That's one. We were talking about that earlier. It's very clear. The Bible says a pastor shall be the husband of one wife. And if you really believe in only two genders, guess what? You can only be a husband of one wife. Somebody says, well, you know, it's okay. No, it's not okay. Because it's not my decision to make and it's not your decision to make. God has made that already. The issue of tithing and giving. Listen, God's clear on that. How about church attendance? If you're healthy enough to be in church, you ought to be in church. If God's against it, we ought to be against it. I'm shocked at the number of so-called Christians today that are coming out for abortion. For abortion. That's clearly murder. It's clearly, God is clearly against it. I'm shocked at the number of Christians today that are coming out in favor of sodomy or homosexuality, whatever way you want to go about it. You say, well, I have family members in it. Probably not a family in this room is not impacted by that in some way. But it doesn't mean that I hate the person. I just reject the lifestyle that they're living. I don't have to agree with their lifestyle. And listen, we're getting in a point right now in our nation where things are getting more and more expensive. And you know what? You're going to hear some Christians, some churches say that it's okay to steal. You already have people. They're grabbing grocery carts and they're filling them up and they're walking right out. And they're saying, oh, that's okay. No, that makes it more expensive for the rest of us that are paying for our stuff. That's not okay. It's not okay to steal from the grocery store. It's not okay to steal from your boss. If your boss is paying you to work a full hour, then bless God you work a full hour. If you don't want to work that full hour, then quit and go get another job and be honorable about it. But quit stealing. It's wrong to do that. Church attendance. That's one. Well, you know, preacher. No, I don't know. And frankly, neither does God. Either we're going to have church, either we're going to be faithful to all the services of church, or we're not. You can't pick and choose what you want to do. Well, I'll be there unless something else comes up. You know what they're really saying? I will put church into my schedule unless something more important comes up. You go ahead and mark this down. What parents do today in moderation, their children will do in excess. If we live long enough, those families that only come on Sunday mornings will see their children not attend at all. They just won't. Or if they do, it'll be Christmas and Easter. And maybe another couple times like that. But it won't be faithful. And you know what else is going to happen? You're not going to be able to keep the doors open. Because people that don't attend church, they don't give. There'll be no missionaries. There'll be no nothing unless God brings genuine revival. So how did they get to that point? They didn't make good decisions. Part of it is our fault because we didn't teach them how to make good decisions. Well, you guys are here, so I'm going to teach you how to make good decisions. Amen? Number one, I only have 16 points. Number one. 4 points. Number one. Decide to live life God's way. You want a good decision to make? Decide to live life God's way. Brother Ingram said it this morning. Each and every one of us ought to come to a point in our life where we say, God, I don't care what it is. If you say you don't want it in my life, I'll get it out of my life. I find more Christians hindered from serving God like they should because of good things than I do bad things many times. It's just something that God just wants them to get rid of. And it may be something that, I don't know, it could be music. It could be, I don't know what it is. It could be anything. And God says, I don't want that in your life. And Christians argue with God. And God, there's nothing wrong with that. God didn't ask us whether it was wrong. He just asked us to put it away. And Tim used the great example of Moses coming before the burning bush. As far as I know, there's nowhere. I think that's the first time in the Word of God where somebody was told to take their shoes off. Moses, take your shoes off. What, God? I always wear my shoes. No, you're on holy ground. Well, what difference does that make, God? It's never made a difference before. And God says, take your shoes off. You know what Moses did? Took shoes off. Do you think that made sense to Moses? No. Look, you say, how do you know that? A bush is burning. Not only is the bush hot. Here, let me ask Andrew and Bryce this, okay? You guys ready? I know it's summertime and your brains are probably on, you know, summer mode, but let me ask you this. If the bush is burning, do you think it's hot? Do you think it would make the ground around the bush hot too? Okay. Do you think whenever God told Moses to take off his shoes, he was wondering, but God, the ground is hot. Does that make sense to you guys? Does that make sense to the rest of you? Moses is standing there. That bush, you know, we see all the pictures, a little bitty bush burning. But you know, that thing captured Moses' attention. I'm thinking it might be a bigger bush than that. That dude was on fire. The fire of God. I got an idea. The ground all around it was hot. And God says, take off your shoes. How's that, God? The ground is hot. It didn't make sense. God didn't care if it made sense. He just wanted Moses to obey. You know what Moses did? He reached out and unstrapped his sandals and stood on that ground. You know what didn't happen? His feet didn't get burnt. You know what did happen? God used it. You know what Moses made the decision? To live life God's way. Here's what the Bible says. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a holy a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and they might have life more abundantly. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. I remember hearing Johnny Pope say years ago, he said, however you're leaning is the way you're going to fall. May we lean unto the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. Good decision to make, help us make good decisions. Actually, I should say, good decisions that help us make gooder decisions. Learn, decide to live life God's way. Who's the guy that sang the song years ago? I live life my way. Is that Frank Sinatra? Was that a Frank Sinatra song? Some of you guys know that? All right. Some of y'all are world enough to understand that. Remember that? So, but I my way. That was a song, wasn't it, Wendell? Okay. Yeah. I figured you would know that. Amen. All right. My way. But we have a whole generation of Christians that are singing that. I did it my way. Thank you, Jatana, for filling us in on that. I thought you were awful young for that. I believe that Josh probably knew that. All right. I did it my way. That was it. That seems to be the theme of modern day Christianity, isn't it? I did it my way. You know what happens when I do things my way? They don't turn out good. Decide. Decide in your personal devotions every day. Decide in every church service, I'm going to live my life God's way. I'm just going to live my life God's way. Number two. A decision that'll help you make good decisions. Simply decide to know God's Word. Decide to know God's Word. I am ashamed often at how little I know God's Word after being saved all the years I've been saved. You would think after a man's been saved 30 or 40 years that they would know the Word of God inside and out. But sometimes we don't make it a priority. Not hold your finger. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. It's in the T-books in the Bible. Yeah, I've had them following in alphabetical order, by the way. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and then Titus. But go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know the verses. Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy is a young man, and he's warned him in the verses before. He said, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and deceived and being deceived. And then he says in verse number 14, he says this, but continue thou. You know what he's saying, Timothy? Make the decision to live for God. Make the decision to live God's way. And then he goes on, but continue thou, verse number 14, 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Can I say something? That describes us tonight. We've learned these things. We've heard these things preached. And Paul says this, you continue in these things. And then in verse number 15, he goes back to his childhood. He says, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says this, all scriptures. You know what he's saying? Decide to know God's word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. The phrase inspiration of God means God's breath. It means carries with the idea of carrying God's spirit. Whenever you read the word of God, the spirit of God begins to speak with your spirit. That's God's breath on the word of God. There's something powerful about this book. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, that is what is right, for reproof, what is not right, for correction, that's how to get right, and instruction in righteousness, that's how to stay right. And the reason why, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. He says, Timothy, I want you to determine, I want you to decide early on to know God's word. I can't know God's word unless I read God's word. I can't read God's word properly unless I pray over God's word. I got to put aside everything else. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17, it says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. Daily. Whether those things were so. Let the word of God, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Decide to know God's word. Decide to live life God's way. Number 3. A decision that will help you make a good decision. Decide to ask for God's help every day. Decide to ask for God's help every day. You're saying, preacher, this is so simple. This is kinder. Yes, it is. Every once in a while, we need to go back to the basics. Who are you living for? Self or for God? What are you doing with your time? Are you getting to know the Word of God? And then number 3, are you talking to God? Are you praying? Are you asking God for help? You're in Timothy. Go with me just a couple books over to James. James. While you guys are turning to James chapter 1, I'll read this out of Psalms. The Word of God says in Psalms, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. How's your prayer life? I'm not talking about how's your prayer list. I think every Christian ought to have a prayer list. Well, let me tell you something. A prayer list does no good if you don't spend a little bit of time either before or after asking God what you should pray for and who you should pray for. Prayer is two-way communication. See, we've got this thought in our mind that I speak to God through prayer and God speaks to me through His Word. Well, that's true. But you know what? I can speak to God in prayer and God just can speak to me in prayer. Oftentimes, though, we don't hear God speak to us because we don't shut up long enough. Because we're so busy going over our prayer list, we're asking God for the things that we want God to do, kind of like He's a genie in a bottle, going over that list, instead of stopping and pausing and saying, God, who do you want me to pray for? Christians fear silence. Be still and know that I am God. You know, there ought to be a time or two in our walk with God where we're just quiet, still. Take a few deep breaths and just simply say, okay, God, I'm going to listen. You may not hear an audible voice, but you'll hear Him in your spirit. And He'll start moving. And it is awesome whenever God moves on your spirit like that. We don't get that because too often we're too busy trying to put God in a little box that we want Him to be in. God desires to answer our prayers. If He wants to answer our prayers, that means we need to pray prayers that God can answer. I need the mind of God. How do I get the mind of God? Through the Word of God? Absolutely. But whenever I read the Word of God, God begins to purify my spirit, cleanse my mind. And you know what? There's no noise. Now I can hear from God. I have ringing in my ears. I've had it for, I don't know, 25 years. And sometimes whenever things get really, really quiet, the ringing gets really, really loud. It's loud right now, tonight. And oftentimes I can kind of tap on some of the bones there and make it settle down a little bit. But it really is something that I deal with. Sometimes whenever I'm real quiet, I've been spending time with God, I've been reading the Word of God, I've been meditating on the Word of God, just kind of pouring out my heart to Him, and I'm quiet, I hear that. And I ask the Lord, Lord, help me hear You through the noise. I'm amazed how God just impresses on my spirit who He wants me to pray for, what He wants me to do. Decide to ask for God's help daily. James 1, verse number 5. Here's what the Bible says. If any of you lack wisdom, have you ever felt like you lacked wisdom? By the way, never mind, I won't go there. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You know what he simply says? Ask. You know the reason why we don't get things from God? We don't see answers to our prayers? We're not asking. Or maybe we're asking for the wrong thing. Number four, decisions that lead to good decisions. Number four, decide to get good advice. It doesn't matter who you are. There's probably been another Christian that's been where you're going. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors is safety. Seek advice. Seek godly advice. Be careful about, you know, reading the astrology reports and all of that. The Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Seek godly advice. The Bible says, but exhort one another daily. Sometimes a person may not be seeking it, but through your exhortation, through your encouragement, you may give them advice that you never knew they were already looking for. Amen. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. decisions that lead to good decisions. Number one, determine, decide to live God's way. My life is God's. Decide to know, to get to know God's Word. Decide to simply spend time in prayer every day. Don't make a major decision without seeking advice, godly advice. We're in an active warfare with an enemy that will do anything to destroy us and our testimonies. I guess I have a question or two. One of them is this. What are some areas that you've made some bad decisions in lately? When I typed that out, I thought, I don't want to put those on paper. More than likely, those areas were the result of me not setting some boundaries beforehand. Make some decisions early. When it comes to this, if this happens, I can't tell you how many times through the years it's just broken my heart to have somebody that, man, for the years was faithful, and all of a sudden, I'll give you an example. Years ago, we had Reformers Unanimous Friday night, and one of the men that was helping as a director of that, and God was doing some great things through his life and working in other people's lives, and he came to me one Friday night, and he said, "Preacher, this will be my last Friday night." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah." He says, "My boss gave me the option a couple weeks ago to start working on Friday nights for some extra overtime. So I'm going to." And I'm like, "What? But you lead this program and you're influencing so many people and you're..." "Well, I just decided I had to do this." You know what had happened? He hadn't made a decision earlier. And all of a sudden the money was dangled out in front of him, and guess what? He made a bad decision. There's several. You know, he didn't seek advice on that. I don't believe he prayed about it. How many of you ever had somebody say, "Well, I prayed about it," and you know good and well they haven't? "Well, I prayed about this." No, you haven't. Because if you did, other Christians would be in agreement with you about it. I'm going to tell you something. If other mature Christians look at you like you've grown another head over a decision you've made, more than likely you didn't pray about it like you should have. Let's determine that we're going to make good decisions to help us make good decisions, because here's what's going to happen. Pressure's coming. Pressure's coming. The world, the flesh, and the devil are going to intensify their attacks. And we need to make some decisions early on that we're going to live like God wants us to live. Because if you wait until the last moment to make those decisions, guess what? You're going to fall. You're going to fail. You say, "How do you know?" Because I've got caught in that trap. And I don't like getting caught in that. Learn to know God's Word. Ask His help daily. Seek godly advice. Just decide to live your life God's way. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We're so grateful for the Word of God. Just some simple thoughts tonight, Lord, that I believe will help all of us. Lord, it's so easy for us to get away from the fundamental truths and fundamental precepts and concepts of the Word of God. Lord, help us to keep coming back to these things. Help us to remain faithful. Help us to be strong in our faith. For Lord, we know that we're going to be influenced by money, by the outside world, by family, loved ones. God, help us to determine how You want us to live and simply live that way. Lord, help us to live our lives in such a way that if You tell us to take our shoes off, that we'll simply trust you and we'll obey. So God, I pray for these dear folks this week. Pray, Lord, you'd help them to walk with you and live for you. Bless us now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Have a great week. I'll see you on Wednesday.